There we go.
Let's see how our Lent was. Guys, it was tough. Lent's been a tough one. Are you ready? It's going to be a busy weekend.
So excited for Holy Week.
Are you excited for Good Friday?
I said it's like our Super Bowl.
It is. It's yeah. pretty intense.
Yeah.
It is.
Super Bowl and...
Who's the halftime performer?
I don't know if any of you know. Rhea?
Rhea?
That's awesome. Exactly. Can we say the H word in this?
The H word?
The H word.
Hell?
No. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can say that. We're just not supposed to sing it in church.
Oh.
You can say the word.
Okay.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He's risen.
Yeah. Eternal drama of our salvation playing out from the beginning of creation.
Our faith itself is inherently dramatic.
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 It's so dramatic. It's so dramatic.
And yet this is how our God loves.
He loves. He wanted.
All right.
Listo?
I think so.
Los listos.
How now, brown cow? Yes.
Bilingual queen.
Yeah, listos.
Yes.
Listos.
Are you a bilingual queen?
I'm no.
She says I'm a queen, just not bilingual.
Just not bilingual. Not fully bilingual.
Not fully, okay.
Not fully, but.
Not yet.
I get by.
Yeah.
I get by with our.
Nice.
Our gente.
Nice. That's awesome. All right.
Welcome back.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back here.
Yeah, we're getting ready for, so this will release after Holy Week, but we're getting ready for Holy Week.
Ooh, yeah,
today.
We see it on the horizon.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Hours away.
Literally right there. I'm so excited.
What are you excited about? Ooh, should I ask you? I'll ask you what you're excited about.
Okay.
But we should probably start an opening prayer.
We should.
Yeah.
Okay. In the name of the Father, the Son,
nice.
The Holy Spirit.
Look at that. Amen. That's the kind of take charge youth minister we have in our parish.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, for this week that you have given us as we prepare for your resurrection and for our Easter for the next 5 weeks. We just ask that you are present with us, Lord, and that you're guiding us and that we can rejoice with you in this joyful season of time. We ask this in your most holiest name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You rocked that prayer.
Thank you.
Esmeralda, Kino, great job.
Our instructor, he was like, does anyone want to lead closing prayer for us to leave class, right? And I'm trying to dip. And everybody's like so silent. And I'm just like, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I was like, I'm trying to go, guys.
I will dip later.
Yeah. So I was like, I'll take prayer. I got it. It was short, simple. Like prayer, I guess people, when they think of prayer, has to be something long.
No.
Like beautiful. Like beautiful. Prayer is beautiful as it is.
Amen.
Regardless. If you say an Our Father, that's beautiful.
That's the perfect prayer.
Yeah.
Jesus taught us that one.
It was good enough for Jesus. It was good enough.
Right?
Like it doesn't have to be this whole poetic theme.
Or, and these are some little pet peeves of mine, maybe of yours too.
Ooh.
They also do not need to be newsy.
Mm. Oh. Like, what do you mean by that?
Well, kind of announcing the news of the day. And of course, we want to pray for people in the Ukraine, in Palestine, in Israel, the bridge. So by the time this is released, people know more about what happened in Baltimore. But it sounds like there was a ship that, for whatever reason, crashed into some columns and people died as a result of the bridge collapsing. It's a pet peeve of mine that sometimes when people pray, it's like whatever they heard last on the news. We do need to pray for those.
Yeah.
But there's also just a ton of stuff in our daily lives here. And we don't need to make the announcement like the one that's like breaking news. Let's pray for and then go down a list of everything they heard overnight.
Yeah.
Sure. Or releasing like personal information from people, like,
ooh.
I want to pray for so-and-so because they had a bad fall last night and they twisted their ankle. They're going to be gone for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa.
It wasn't necessary.
I would have just been praying for like all the sick.
Like you could have prepped me. That's a private conversation we could have.
Right? A lot of HIPAA violations going on in that prayer.
That's true, but you could just say like, we pray for all the sick, all those who are injured.
Be vague.
Yeah, be vague.
Be vague.
Sure. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I have one pet peeve when people pray, like you know when we're all praying together,
right,
but but there when people purposely pray like faster or Ooh, slower.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, we're like we're one. We're in community. Why are we what are we doing?
For sure. I agree.
That one's tough for me. That one's tough. Yeah, that one's hard. It's just it gets distracting.
It does.
Yeah. And then I'm like, and then I'm thinking about them.
Or when someone tries to be purposely louder.
Oh, that's a good one too.
I'm just like, guys, like it's not a competition, I promise.
I promise.
Like, Our Father. Like, I love that you're proclaiming the Our Father. We're like you said, we're union.
We're together. We're Amen. What, you know.
Amen. Well, and to go back to scripture, Jesus did say, don't be like the scribes and the Pharisees who believe that the longer their prayer, the more words they use, the more God will hear them. Mm. When you pray, pray for what you need. And that's the prayer he taught us. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us for what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, we pray for our ability and God's grace to forgive others. And certainly that we not be led into temptation, but instead delivered from evil.
That's what I tell the teens. I'm like, because I always welcome them if they want to do opening prayer or closing. And they all get scared. I'm like, doesn't have to be anything like deep. It can just be an Our Father. And then they're like, oh, okay, I'll do it then. I'm like, you see, that's prayer, y'all. Come on.
Oh, can I say one other?
Yeah.
Is I it was a just pet thinking, peeve? Yes.
Prayer pet peeves.
We didn't know that was going to be a segment.
Oh, wait. That sounds weird.
Leave it in a comment.
I was going to admit to your prayer. Abbreviate it, but it sounds weird.
Oh. Yeah. Father David's a little slow. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to. Yeah, we're not.
Other prayer pet peeve. You just made me think sometimes. When I've seen, not here at St. John Vianney, but other schools or youth groups where they ask people to get up and pray, kind of, you say, without a lot of preparation, they can also get real political.
Oh.
And, you know, it's like, well, we want to pray for the president and all the good things he's doing or all the awful things he's doing. We want to pray for, you know, that all the immigrants and they should be able to come over anytime they want, or I want to pray for the wall, or like just whatever. But like people get real political and like, let's just keep it on God and loving our neighbor. That's what Jesus taught us, right?
Exactly.
And we have to all figure out in our own time and space, not at prayer, not in church, how to determine with our conscience well-formed how to vote. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't need to be during like a youth group prayer.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's been our prayer. What did I say?
Prayer pet peeves.
Man, that's hard to say.
Prayer pet peeves. Say that five times.
I can't.
Prayer pet peeves.
That was good. You should have been an actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they did like.
Because I'm dramatic.
Speaking of dramatic.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for shouting us out on Sunday.
That was crazy.
I like was sitting down. I heard my name. I said, what do I do?
Oh, why do you have a guilty conscience?
Oh, let's talk about that.
No, not guilty conscience. It was more of like, I'm always ready.
Oh,
exactly. Yeah. Good work.
Like, what did we need to do? You know,
mm-hmm. Nice.
Like this little girl almost tilted over the candle when you're doing the prayer.
Oh yeah.
I think mom, sister, she caught it and I was like,
dang.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That is crazy.
But yeah, that was, I like
what
how
would
you,
we have done? This is like a little,
oof.
If a little candle, tabletop exercise here on Dramatic Catholics.
Okay.
Having a kind of a continuity plan or an emergency procedure. What would we do if a candle fell on a kid and they caught on fire?
Oof.
Drop.
Throw in the
church.
Holy water.
The font.
Oh, grab them.
Throw them in the font. It's far. Isn't it stop, drop, and roll?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is.
And then like just pat them like.
Yeah.
And take like a blanket or something. I mean, does. What?
The
what?
Altar. No. That's not
no. Well, no. To save a life, that'd be fine.
Maybe
to
a purificator. It.
Would that be enough though?
No.
The purificator catches on fire.
Oh, but we have those.
You have altar have servers.
Cruets. The water, not wine. Don't throw wine on the kid. Because that would only be like more flammable, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Okay, we've taken a dark turn here on Dramatic Catholics.
But you never know. Crazy things happen at Mass sometimes.
What's the craziest thing you've seen?
Oh, I have one. It was a long time ago. Father Tom Eckert was saying Mass, and he was like preparing the gifts on the altar, and someone like came up right to the front, and it was like, it just, the person seemed off. Like it wasn't like, you know, and I, that was the first time I got like scared, and I like looked, and I was like trying to see where the exit was, and I was sitting close to the exit, but he was like, sir, like, please sit down. Like, please sit down. And finally after a while he left, but like, that was pretty intense.
Cause little standoff.
Yeah. Cause I was just scared. I was like, I didn't know. And I don't remember what he was saying, but it was just like, he was like, sir, can you please
sit
down?
Was it about the charity development appeal?
That's crazy.
That would be, that would be a really intense moment.
What would you do?
I would say hello.
Can I help you?
Depending on where it is during the mass too. I mean, if it's during the consecration,
yeah,
I would
almost,
I wouldn't
like right there.
Interrupt the prayer of, you know, the Eucharistic prayer.
Yeah.
Although I suppose if the person started yelling, I would just ask them politely, you know, ma'am or sir.
Can you hold it in real quick?
Can we talk about this afterwards? Exactly.
Yeah.
And just in a calm voice, because people often rise to the tempo or emotion that you show. And so I kind of calm people down when they're fired up. Yeah. And I would probably just ask the person very politely to sit
just
down.
Just around that time, like, there was a lot of stuff going on. Like, you know, like there was like a lot of like shootings, you know, like went like at different schools and stuff. So it's like you think of those things, you know.
And
like,
these things happen around the world.
Praying
for you all in Nigeria, in France. There's been some violence there. They burned down churches in Chile.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, you never know. It's like, so you want to handle it like subtly. But that was, I think I would say that qualifies as dramatic.
That is dramatic.
Yeah.
I've never had a dramatic moment in mass, or like something dramatic happen.
That's
thankfully.
Good.
I mean, has anything like fallen? Like, did somebody drop something or trip? Oh, no. See, something dramatic did happen.
We don't want to out the person, but yes.
But can you give me like the general outline of what happened without divulging their identity?
That's kind of hard.
Oh,
everybody
no.
Hard. If you were at the house, you know. Yeah.
Let's
oh,
just say,
you know who you are.
Yeah.
Okay, well then never mind. We can just leave it. But now our comments are going to be full of people wanting to know.
It's
Miss Lee.
It's Miss Lee.
It's Miss Lee.
It's Mizzle. No, but sometimes I do think about that, like the nearest exit.
Yeah.
I think that we're in a vulnerable spot when we're at mass. Because, like you say, you never know people's intentions.
That's like anywhere now, though. It's like,
Somebody really could be like so mad with the Catholic Church and be like, you know what? This is the closest Catholic Church I've seen.
Yeah.
And just go like, not to put fear into anybody, but God got us, you know?
God got us.
Well, so there was an interesting case here in Phoenix. I think it was two Christmases ago. The FBI, of all people, were tracking a fellow who was a known Muslim. We got here on Dramatic Catholics, we love all people. We have nothing against anybody who's Muslim. But in this case, he was a Muslim like activist and very involved in his Islamic community. And he was Googling Catholic Church Midnight Mass and like repeatedly. And so this, I guess, set off some red flag. And like, why would a Muslim, a local Muslim guy, be looking for a Catholic Church Midnight Mass? It's like no times and addresses. It's possible that he just wanted to go and like hear us singing, but it's also possible that he intended something bad. And they, you know, they got a hold of him and prevented him from doing that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't
so
know
you're right.
That.
These things happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting you brought that up today. I mean, right now, like the FBI, because I searched up.
what did you search?
I searched up cloning. Is cloning a thing?
What? Cloning?
Yeah, and I was on the phone with Chris, and I was like, dude, the FBI is going to mark me on this. They're going to come searching for me.
Because you want to clone somebody?
No, I was searching up, is cloning a real thing?
Like cloning, like...
Like people?
Replicating something.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you clone if you could?
What kind of cloning would sound like a person? That's weird, first of all.
That's weird.
I don't know. That's not, it's not right. That's not right. That's not right. I can't even think
but
about
what did you determine? I mean, is it a real thing?
So I guess they're using genetics to study for it, but it's not like an actual thing yet.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do y'all want to make that a thing? That's weird. Why do you want to make another you? It wouldn't be the same.
You're enough.
Yeah.
You're enough.
That's not how it's meant to be, y'all.
Yeah. Facts. Yeah.
But I got on that whole cloning thing because something with pop culture, and they were looking at this one celebrity singer. I don't know. And they were like, that's not him. Like, he looks so different. Like, that's not him. I bet you they cloned him. And I was like, cloning? Was like, is that even a thing?
They cloned him? Not even like plastic surgery? Like,
okay. Yeah, I was like,
cloning. Yeah, they went right to cloning.
Yeah, they went right to cloning. Let's
so that's why I was like, is cloning a thing? Because we live in a crazy world. I wouldn't be surprised if it is. Or obviously,
well, didn't they clone a sheep like 20 years ago?
20 years ago?
No, I'll look it up now. I believe.
How do you
the
know?
The sheep's name was
2004?
Dolly.
As in pardon.
But don't, yeah. So if the FBI comes searching for me, we know
if
why.
There are other Gen X people listening to this podcast like me, you remember Dolly the clone sheep. I'm pretty sure.
Gen X.
How did they know it was cloned and it wasn't just another sheep
it.
That was,
see,
that was born?
Yeah. Dolly clone sheep.
They lying to you.
Oh, I was way off. It was 1996.
That's even like, how's that possible?
28 years ago. That is crazy. Almost 30 years ago. It was in Scotland. And, oh, Dolly died in 2003.
That's tragic.
So, yeah.
R.I.P. Dolly.
Yeah, but it's pretty wild.
That is really wild.
It was using the process of nuclear transfer from a cell taken from a gland.
That is weird.
So,
I don't know.
There we go. It is a thing. And it's been around for a long time.
But, like, actual, like, cloning. Like, I don't think that's a thing.
When no,
you
I
put somebody in and it makes them.
No, yeah, no.
You know what AI is?
Mm-hmm.
AI,
artificial
is crazy.
Intelligence. Yeah.
Like, there's things out there that look so legit, but it's not even real.
Yeah.
It's AI.
Yeah, like, it's like more and a more intense version of Photoshop.
Yeah.
Like, right. Now you don't even know, like, what's.
Yeah.
What's real, what's not anymore.
My sister was showing it to me, actually. I don't know what the instrument was called, but she had it on her phone, and I was sort of laughing like that. Like, I think it's overblown, is my thought. And she's like, all right, well, let's see. I'm like, so could it write a sermon? And she's like, yeah, but you got to tell me what the kind of the parameters are. So I try to make it as goofy as possible. Like, well, it's going to be about The Simpsons. It's got to talk about the weather. I want it to include blah, 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 blah. And Jesus is offer of salvation to all people. And she's like, done. And it generated this like 5-minute sermon. I read through it. I'm like, all right, that's actually pretty good. I'm not going to use it. But it's crazy. Like, you just put in that stuff. And I guess these things are so smart, like the servers or robots or whatever that do the artificial thinking, that they can come up with this like.
Legit.
There you go.
Well, not legit.
This product.
But yeah,
product. It's beautiful. I did use it to.
Careful, I signed your checks.
I did use it to, my friend wanted me to write a reference for her. And I'm bad with words. I know what I want to say, but I'm like, I don't.
The affirmation
really?
Part.
It's really hard for me to like.
Put it together.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm like, I know. So I put in like what I wanted to say and it came out so nicely. Because there was like 50 questions it wanted me to ask for her. And I'm like, I don't know how to make all of them sound like eloquent. But also,
sure.
Especially the one that's like, what's her greatest weakness? It's like, well, I'm not going to say like, you know,
she
I know.
Just
I'm not
she
gonna,
works too hard. She's too smart for her own good.
Yeah. So it was really helpful.
Okay.
Yeah. AI.
Okay.
Yeah. Against it for cheating, but for stuff like that.
For sure.
All about it. All about
imagine
it.
The teachers now like having to see if it's AI generated.
Yeah, there's ways.
They should just go
there's
back
ways.
To handwritten.
There's ways for all the high schoolers listening out there. They know the teachers know.
They do know.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Because if you start off the year with your own like personal papers, and then 2 weeks later you pop up with this paper, come on now.
you ain't fooling no one.
Yeah,
not even Jesus.
Yeah,
especially not Jesus. He knows.
Jesus saw you before you even did it.
Ooh, here's a theological question for you. Did you have free will to do it or not?
Yes.
If Jesus knew, so Jesus knew before you did it that you were going to choose a certain way.
Yeah.
But you still had the freedom not to do it.
Yeah.
Would Jesus have been wrong then?
No.
Walk me through that on a very special edition of Dramatic Catholics.
if I think through it, right, I think of like my parent knows me very well. And if she know, like my mom knows like what I'm going to do most of the time, like making a choice. Like if I'm going to go, I don't know, she knows I have the day off. Like she could make a good assumption of like what I'm going to do for the day.
Okay.
I still have a choice. And like, even though she like knows like what I could be doing or whatever, Jesus is different in that. Like he absolutely knows like what I'm going to be doing, but that isn't, he doesn't.
So he can see the future.
Yeah, he could see, but he doesn't. He wouldn't impede on my will to do something, right? Because I could freely choose. Can he like...
Well, I don't know that he would be taking away your free will.
Yeah.
Or impeding it. I think what I'm asking is, have all the decisions that we're ever going to make already been made and we're just sort of living it out?
Yeah, like are they predestined? Did he predestine?
Yeah. Well, right. So this is why it's a very special edition of... Dramatic Catholics. We're tackling one of the big questions of the early church.
Yeah,
are we predestined? St. Paul says yes. Yep. St. Paul says that we have been predestined for eternal glory.
Okay. Like we're obviously like called to be perfect, mm-hmm. right? That's like the call.
That's Jesus's command. Mm-hmm. Be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But I obviously fall short in that, you know, I fall short. So I am destined, like I should, like that's where I'm meant to go.
Amen.
But based off of my choices, right? Me like sinning, for example, then yeah, I'm still destined for that place, but I could fall short.
Ding, 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 ding. Great answer.
Was it? I feel like
that
was
a bad
answer. No, it
really is. It's a great answer.
No, you answered that beautifully.
Why do you feel it was bad?
Oh, I don't know. I just...
No. Have she confidence. Said,
yeah, that's
what that was right on. Mm. So the difference is St. Paul says we are predestined for this eternal glory. Exactly as you say, God wants us by our very existence. We've been created in love to be in love and live with him eternally. Because we had followed up over the years with our own selfishness and, you know, the fall, the original sin of Adam and Eve has been passed down to all of us. And we could not do anything possible to earn salvation. Mm-hmm. So no matter how hard we try it on earth, living the law perfectly, according to the Jewish rituals and laws, we were never going to be saved. So mm-hmm. God sent Jesus to save us and to offer us that new and eternal life. But Jesus says, unless you're reborn of water and the Spirit, mm-hmm. you can't have life. Those who wander away from me, so to speak, will wither and die like branches on a vine, right? And so Jesus is saying, you always have the free will. You mm-hmm. have been destined for glory and eternal life. I've in fact come here on earth to die and rise so that you could have this eternal life. Choose life, mm-hmm. right? Jesus is saying, you do have this choice. Sin is the rejection of God's love and virtue and grace and love accepts God into your heart. And so we are not predetermined. Mm-hmm. We are predestined. So from the time we're conceived in our mom and dad, well, our mom's womb, from the love of our mom and dad, we are predestined. Mm-hmm. But the free will is never taken away, so we are not predetermined.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you are going to steal or whether you're going to, you know, run a red light or cheat by using AI, I was sort of playing devil's advocate asking you, does Jesus know... And of course, he now lives and reigns mm-hmm. outside of time. So he sees all things instantly. He knows what you're going to mm-hmm. do, but you definitely in the moment in time, because we are bound by time as human beings, we get to choose.
Yeah.
Can I say, what about conviction?
Conviction.
Yeah. Like if you're going to do something and you're like, stop, like, wait, I shouldn't do that. What is that?
Oh, like, is that impeding on the free will? No, I mean, I think that's like
not like impeding, but is that like him?
Him like shoving you in the right direction?
Yeah, like nudging you, like wait, you know.
Well, I think like it's like a relationship.
God's bumper bowling.
Yeah.
You're bouncing off the guardrail,
like
going
the
down
Holy
the.
Spirit is just like, go this way.
Yeah, I mean, I think of you still have the choice though. Like, am I going to listen to it or am I not? You know, it doesn't really take away like that. that choice of that free will. But like, that's the point. Like, it's a relationship. Like, we do, like, he's not just like,
no,
he
no, didn't, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's just a gift, like, of him being like a father and be like, hey, don't be dumb. Like, don't do that thing that's obviously going to hurt you. And you're like, if you're not going to listen, like, you're not going to listen.
I'm just asking because I've heard stories of people like, well, God, like, sent me a sign or, like, you know, I think God put this in my way so that I wouldn't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would call that divine providence. And I think I've shared before that it was like a light bulb going off for me when I finally figured out I may not be the smartest guy in the room, but I love when kind of, you know, that light bulb goes off and you realize, like, huh, that's exactly what it means. Divine providence, we talk about in my religious community, the Holy Cross Fathers and Brothers, and you've probably heard that term, right? Well, it actually comes from provide, and it's the kind of noun form of God providing. So how does he provide? Well, through divine providence or divine providence. And I was like, boom.
Dang.
Yeah.
It really was. It was really like that, yeah. Like the light bulb going off. Like, divine providence is God providence. It's God providing both some things that kind of steer me away, doesn't force me to it, but he would say, okay, maybe that's not the way to go. And he also provides all kinds of good stuff in my life, special blessings and graces that I had not foreseen. God is good.
All the time. Dang, that was kind of deep.
I know, we kind of went off the rails there, but...
All right, so back to
AI. Holy Week and Easter. Hey, these are the best conversations, though.
Yeah, that was good. But we could briefly, like... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, we are celebrating, as we're recording, getting ready for Holy Thursday, celebration of the Lord's Last Supper. We're going to celebrate together the mystery of the Eucharist, the gift to the church of the priesthood. We'll see, in this case this year, me washing feet of various of our parishioners. We are going to do it a little differently this year, which by this time you all know that instead of sitting up in the front for the people to have their feet washed, we're actually going to be kind of seated throughout the church, and it will be me as the priest and Deacon Bill moving around the church to go to those people to wash their feet, just to be able to have a little bit more observing or observation from the faithful, see what's going on. Tomorrow we're going to celebrate, as we do every Good Friday, a Living Stations of the Cross. This year it'll be in the CSC gym.
Yes.
At 4 o'clock in Las Ligas. I don't know why I'm announcing these times. You know, this is like, as you're listening to this in your car, it's a week old news, but all that leads up to, in our parish, the celebration of the evening of the Passion of the Lord, the veneration of his Holy Cross, and receiving Holy Communion, though we don't have Mass on Good Friday. And then Saturday night, big night.
The party.
Doors blow off the church.
The party starts.
Exactly. We got fire.
I love Easter Vigil.
We got water. We got chanting. We got amazing faith, hope, and love.
I do love the chanting.
Yeah. I love the candles in the beginning.
I like Rhea singing, we could say it now, but I love when the lights come on and singing her, or hearing her sing Alleluia is my favorite. Yeah. It is like, the way she's, yeah. The buildup of it, it's just so, yeah. Iconic. Yeah. I love it.
Iconic.
It brings me so much joy. Like, oh, I've been waiting for this.
Yeah.
Well, why have we been waiting? This is a really good, I mean, we started out 40 days ago.
Because we've been in Somberland. It's been tough.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in the desert for 40.
Yeah, we've been in the desert. Thirsty, hungry,
waiting for Jesus.
Yeah, I know. I love that part too. I'm just like, yes, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for saving my soul.
Absolutely, well said. He is the victor.
Yeah.
Right. He won.
Like, I'm so excited.
The devil tried everything he could. He threw at him psychological torture, physical torture, emotional torture, spiritual torture, and Jesus bore it all for us out of love, not out of vengeance. He suffered because of love and died. And this is a question I always ask the kids. Did Jesus really die? Or did he look like he was dead? Because he's God.
Yes.
Can God die?
He died.
He's immortal.
Yeah, he died.
He died.
That rose. He's living. He died. Like, he had to die.
Yeah.
Like, yep. That's the whole point.
Yep. It is. Yeah.
It is the whole point. Actually had to die.
As human.
Right.
Because he was also human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's incredible to think. But Jesus is, we say his natures are not intermixed. They're not intermingled. So he's fully God, fully human.
Yeah, it's no 50-50.
Yeah, it's full.
So it's not right.
Yeah.
But there's been all these different heresies over the years trying to explain how could it be that God died?
Yeah.
Because it can be.
Because it can be, you know?
You say Jesus.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess, like, I probably it's not a good way to respond when people are like, but how? I'm like, because it's God.
When I hear people use mystery a lot, but when I got one of my professors had said, like, you know, like, we kind of use mystery as a cop out word.
Yeah.
Like, when we can't really explain something,
it's a mystery.
But it's like, no, not really. Like, if you think about, he's like, what mystery really means is it's an invisible reality. Like, it's not that it's not true. It's not that it's not real. We can't see, like we can't see that Jesus is fully God, like, we can't see his DNA or, like, how, like, the makeup or what that looks like, but it's this invisible reality. Like, it's true, it's real, but we can't fully understand that on this side
our
of heaven.
Human brains.
Yeah.
Our knowledge.
Yeah, I heard a definition years ago about mystery being you can know more and more, but you'll never know as a human being on earth the fullness of the truth. So it's a little bit like what you're saying about, like, it's invisible and we'll understand it when we get to heaven. Because, like, the Trinity, that's sort of the ultimate.
Yeah.
But along with the incarnation and the resurrection of Jesus, we can know more and more about the Trinity the more and more we pray about it and we think about it. And, you know, Thomas Aquinas wrote, like, what, 1,300 years after Christ? And it took 1,300 years for him to write, or for kind of the church to understand in the terms that St. Thomas Aquinas gave us. Then it took another 600 years before the Second Vatican Council could write some of the beautiful documents that we have there, helping us understand our faith. And imagine if we have another 10,000 years to go, like, what we're going to continue to uncover and think through.
Yeah.
Never created, but, you know, more fully developed, I think, is the way Pope Benedict XVI
Or, like, unveiled, like, in a way.
Right.
What's your favorite part of this? So these next 3 days is called the Triduum. Is that how you say it?
Triduum.
I've heard it different ways.
You can say it however you
Triduum.
Like.
Tritium?
Tritium. I don't know if it's Tritium.
It's a Latin word, and it means basically the 3 days. I would always say the Triduum.
Okay.
Triduum.
Triduum.
But you could say Tritium. I don't.
All Latin people right now. What, like,
what's your?
I know.
Sorry, guys.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, guys.
Spanish.
How do you say it in Spanish?
I have no clue.
Really?
Tridium.
Tridium?
All my Mexican people are looking at me like, girl, revoked. you got your Mexican tridium card taken away.
Lent is Quaresma, right?
Yes, girl. Quaresma.
Nice. See? She is
Spanish.
Would you call her bilingual queen?
Yeah, bilingual queen.
I just know the church Spanish. That's it. Yeah.
But that's fair.
Yeah, that's about it.
Quaresma.
Quaresma.
You know, somebody pointed out when they were learning Spanish that we Catholics, we always will learn, like, the most farm-related words first, because we read the scripture and there's so many words that are specific to being, like, a pastor. So do you know, like, a flock of sheep? Do you know how to say that in Spanish? Rebaño, grey, like, there's...
Why blanked?
Pastor.
How do you say
pastor
sheep in Spanish?
Oveja.
I looked at you.
I don't know. Oveja.
Oveja?
Oveja. Yeah. And Cordero.
Cordero.
Like the Cordero de Dios.
Oh.
Right? I need to learn.
We learn all these things because, like, it's farm
Spanish
words.
Yeah.
Which is wild, right? Like lobo, wolf.
Mm-hmm. Los lobos.
Los lobos.
Mm-hmm. Golojoya.
But you wouldn't probably learn, like, I don't know, non-biblical animals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's shark? Tiburon.
Yeah, tiburon.
But we don't learn that in the Bible, so.
We don't.
True.
Anyways, I keep taking us off.
It's okay.
And I'm sorry,
it's
just because my brain is in a lot of different places. I get ready for the big night.
The big night.
My favorite, for sure, is, I mean, all three nights, all three parts, because it.
Holy Thursday,
well,
Friday,
but
and Saturday.
You can't really.
I know,
because right?
I heard it's one.
We
it's
start,
like one,
it is, it's one celebration.
Mm-hmm.
We start on Holy Thursday.
They all have to live in, like,
and we go, and we don't stop
Mm-hmm.
Accompanying Jesus, celebrating the mystery of our faith. We go through his agony in the garden. Well, no, first we start with the Last Supper and again, washing feet, living out Jesus's command to do what I have done to you, right? Yeah. Do this in memory of me. And we do that every Mass, the Eucharistic feast. Also, do unto others as I am doing to you right now, washing your feet, right? This is my example and my command. And then we go out from the upper room and we share in his agony. And so tonight, and again, it's a week late, a week after we do these celebrations, but many of you will have been with us as we adore the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament after Mass. And this year in the CSC, spending some time in quiet and adoration at night is a lot like staying with Jesus and keeping watch as he called the apostles to do that night. We stay with him through the false accusations and the terrible judgment that Pilate rendered, the torture that he received from the soldiers and the mocking and insults he received from the various people, leaders of the religion. Just an awful crucifixion, torture, and finally death. But we don't stop there.
Can't stop, won't stop.
We won't stop. Amen.
Yeah.
Because then we get to the Easter Vigil. And as you say, we have such joy because he's saving us, but he's also just, he's won. Yeah. I mean, the joy that you see on anybody's faces, Esmeralda and I are Cardinals fans, so you don't see this on our face very often. But the joy of watching your team win is great. I love to see, in the Super Bowl or, a college football game or even when our kids are playing in basketball or soccer, like you win a game, you are fired up because you worked really hard. You know that it wasn't a given, and almost the harder the victory, the greater the joy. And so we as a church, if we've gone through Jesus into the depths of this pain and awfulness, we can share so much joy and glory because of his victory. He won. He wins now and he'll win forever because Jesus is awesome.
The GOAT.
The
greatest of all time. We got to explain that because not everybody knows that. If you call him a GOAT.
You're right.
They're like, he's the lamb.
He is the lamb.
Duh, Esby.
The Cordero de Dios.
Get it right.
Say Triduum again.
Triduum. Don't cancel me.
No. Why would they cancel you?
Mexican folks, they're like, no, you're no sabo. I'm like,
somebody asked me this morning, you're not a no sabo.
I know I'm not. People are going to come for me. They'll be like,
somebody asked me if they could wear their chanclas tonight to have their feet washed. I'm like, yeah, of course you can.
Oh my gosh, I remember one time I got asked last minute to do it and I was wearing tennis shoes.
Yeah, I know.
I asked
what's wrong
her
with that?
Oh yeah, with
yes.
You. Yeah, so she was like, I need you to do it.
The truth comes out.
She was like, I need you to do it. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. I was so nervous. I was like, oh my gosh, my feet are going to be out there in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, more for me, because I overthink a lot. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to take off my socks. I'm going to take off my shoe before they come to me. But what if like, it's a whole thing?
Yeah. But that was when you were sitting up in the front, right?
Yeah. That was like my first year working here too.
I know. I was like, my toes weren't done, so I wasn't going to tag myself.
Oh,
my toes weren't done either. There was a reason I was wearing shoes.
I'm going to Esme.
I couldn't do it. Anyways, it's fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I had a blast though.
Oh.
Well, I think you're gonna like the people that got asked this year. It's a pretty good group. Pretty
Should
diverse.
I sit in the back or in the front?
You can sit anywhere you want because you're guaranteed to see at least one.
Ooh, okay.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll sit anywhere.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So we're still celebrating. As you're listening to this, it's day 8, probably.
Ooh.
Right?
I think so. Yeah, because it'll
Friday
be...
Friday morning after Sunday, but
yeah, Friday.
Saturday, 7 days. It'll be the 7th day after Jesus' victory over death and sin. Keep celebrating. We have 40 days of Easter and then 10 more until Pentecost. Every day we celebrate Jesus' victory. Every Mass that we go to is a celebration of his victory. But in this time, above all times, we call to mind almost nonstop Jesus' Paschal mystery and love for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to give a shout out to our friend Scott, who drives long haul and told me that while he's driving around the southwest of the United States in his big rig, he listens to us. So, Scott, keep your eyes on the road, brother. Be safe.
Shout out to
we
you.
Love you here Shout on you. Dramatic Catholics, and to everybody who listens to our podcast. We want to thank you for the prayers that you offer for our ministry. Mm-hmm. Know that we pray for you here at the parish, and we're going to keep celebrating. We went through Lent together, did a lot of prayer, a lot of reflection together. Do you remember we kicked off Lent with a mission?
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem like forever ago, but it also does. Like last weekend?
Yeah.
And that was at the beginning of Lent, and now we're here at the beginning of Easter. And so let's celebrate as much as we observe Lent.
Amen.
So Beautiful. Maybe we just offer a quick prayer.
Let's
in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We praise you, Lord, and we give you glory. We honor everything about Jesus' victory and resurrection. We love him so much, and we receive his love. In this podcast, we've covered a lot of territory, some not even about the resurrection, but we've been able to share just a little bit about the joy that we have in these days. Bless everybody who's listening. Protect them. Keep us all happy, healthy, safe, and holy. Keep us close to your son, Jesus. And Mary, we're right there next to you. Please also keep us protected by your mantle. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. And we'll see you next time on
Dramatic Catholics.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Bye, guys.